Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So today is the 10th anniversary of Columbine. We've noted more than once on the program, just to recall the details. On April 20th, 1999, teenagers Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold opened fire on their classmates, killing a teacher and 12 students and wounding 24 others before turning the guns on themselves. In the 10 years since, there have been other school shootings, and there has been a debate continually in political campaigns and otherwise that guns should be more tightly regulated in America, and that in fact the availability of guns is what caused the disaster at Columbine, and that regulations are in order. But it seems to me that one could also make the argument that in the period since Columbine, the last 10 years, Americans have had the chance to say, you know, let's eliminate this option of being simply one trip to the mall away from buying a gun. And Americans have decided, you know what, we actually feel better if we have the availability of guns, if things should go south. And for some reason, at some point, we need a gun. We know where to get one. It makes Americans feel better. I think that's the takeaway from Columbine 10 years later. And here to sort of either defend that position or tell me I'm full of it is Jeff Fagan. He's a professor of law and public health at Columbia Law School. He joins us here in the studio The Takeaway. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Professor, am I wrong to think that really when Americans have the chance to look at gun control legislation, they basically think somewhere down deep in their kind of American constitutional stomachs that I actually would feel better if I did have the availability and that, you know, Columbine is a small price to pay?
I think that's a very difficult generalization to reach. I think apathy is probably a better characteristic, a better way to think about the American position right now. There hasn't really been a conversation about this since Columbine. There occasionally are conversations after tragedies like Virginia Tech, for example. And events like Virginia Tech spawn a great deal of soul searching and social autopsies about how these events happened. Where did Cho get the gun, for example, and so on? Why wasn't he caught in a background check because of his mental health status? But these are kind of minutiae about particular events, and I don't think there's a great deal of energy and effort to connect the dots across the events. There's just not a lot of either political or cultural will to make those connections.
Where does that come from historically? I look at sort of prohibition, which was an enormous effort that started as a grassroots movement and became a constitutional amendment and then another one to ban alcohol and then to reinstate it. It's not the single event Columbine kinds of things that motivate a prohibition movement, right?
I think that's right. I don't know that there is a movement afoot to ban guns or to make tighter regulation about guns. I wish I had some wonderful cultural and sociological insight into why there's such apathy about gun regulation, but there does seem to be. In fact, my understanding of the data is that there is a support for gun regulation is at a low, maybe a 10-year low since Columbine right now.
So, you know, Michael Moore's Bowling for Columbine movie and the success of that doesn't really count. It's more of a rhetorical stunt. It doesn't connect to anything deep in the culture.
No, I think there's a bit of a cultural divide. I think there's what a friend of mine, Dan Kahan, calls a cultural cognition gap. People have preformed ideas about guns, and moving the dial on those preformed ideas from one group to the next is not easy to do. They tend to interpret events like Columbine or like Virginia Tech or like even the rash of shootings in the past couple of weeks through this cultural cognition, this lens that they have. And the lens shifts the way that they interpret it to match the cognition that they have before the event happens. So there's all of which is to say there's fairly deep set ideas and they're very hard to shift.
So a Columbine actually reinforces the arguments of a gun control advocate and of someone who wants no regulation on guns.
I think that's fair to say. It's very hard to get either side to move the dial on either side of those.
What was the firepower 10 years ago at that high school in Littleton, Colorado?
Well, they had a lot of weapons. I don't know that they had very sophisticated weapons, but they had a lot of weapons. They were well-armed for contingencies in case that when they were caught. They had the capacity to reload and to re-up. They had a variety of weapons, not just guns, but other weapons. So they were prepared. I don't know that, for example, keeping rifles away from people would have stopped the Columbine massacre.
So is this more about getting a gun and carrying out that revenge that you're always thinking about, whether you're in traffic and the person in front of you annoys you? Or is it really more about Americans have this idea that at some point I'm going to be able to settle the score and guns just happen to be the tool?
I don't think you can make that kind of generalization. There are people who want to have guns because they do believe there's an amorphous fear and they have to be able to protect themselves at the drop of a hat. There are others who believe that guns are like carrying around a vial of nitroglycerin and we should be regulating guns the same way we regulate nitroglycerin. We don't make that stuff widely available, or dynamite or any other highly dangerous substance.
What does the law say about the predisposition of people to carry out their revenge in either, social public places in the form of strident rhetoric or, you know, in the case of actually, you know, coming to blows?
You mean shooting people with a gun?
Well, not shooting people with a gun. Let's just say take the guns out of it for a minute. Does the state have an interest in regulating people's powerful feelings about, hey, I've been wronged and I'm going to go tell my boss, coworkers, the people in school who are cheerleaders, you know, whatever it is, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind and I'm going to figure out how to do it?
The law does not allow you to make threats. Making threats of violence towards people is illegal in almost every place. The law does not allow you to make extremely incendiary speech that's inciting to riot. The law does not allow you to make plans and actively recruit people to conspire with you to take out your revenge on others. Hmm. So there are restrictions. And, you know, of course, there's a free speech debate on some of this. But this isn't if I walk into my workplace and I say I'm going to shoot all of you up because you've all wronged me, or I'm going to take lethal revenge on you without specifying the means, I can't get very specific. There's a line about specificity of what those threats will do, and I can't cross that line without wording into the law.
So I can say, I feel like wasting all of you people, but if you go beyond that...
I feel like wasting you people, and I'm going to go home and get my gun, and you all better scatter.
That's where you cross the line.
Yeah.
Before we go, let's note, before the terrible massacre in Binghamton, New York, a Gallup poll says that only 29% of Americans believe that possession of handguns by private citizens should be banned. 29%. Does that surprise you, Jeff Fagan?
No, because I think the kinds of questions and surveys like that are worded very badly. I think if you ask people, should possession of automatic weapons with multiple clips and high firepower, 50 millimeter bullets and so on, should those be regulated? I think more people would say yes. Mm-hmm. Many more people would say yes. I think the question conflates handguns, which most people have. If I were a fisherman in Alaska and I ran into a bear who wanted my fish, I certainly would want to have my rifle without being encumbered.
Good point. So it really is kind of a sociological mystery as to what the sort of issue is that would move the needle on gun control. That's sort of the takeaway 10 years after Columbine. Jeff Fagan, thanks so much for being with us. He's a professor of law and public health at Columbia Law School. We're asking you what the takeaway is. If you missed anything here on the program, take our podcast to go. And if you're in debt over your head, you might want to think about this takeaway.
A lot of the people in the debt settlement industry are former workers in the mortgage industry who probably sold you the mortgage for your house that cost too much money to begin with.
Ouch. That's David Streitfeld, business reporter for the New York Times. It's just as easy to get into debt on the way down as it is on the way up in this financial meltdown. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.